Time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys of Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. You'll find them at tqag.com. You'll find Tim on the road, so you'll find Greg doing the hosting today. Good morning, Greg.
Oh, well, actually, Tim is waiting for you to call him. He's up and ready to go. You can hook him in anytime.
All right. Well,
got in late last night, so he's ready for a show. So, but it's good to be back because I've had some technical difficulties the past couple of weeks.
I would say so. Hang on, I got to search for Tim here now. Hang on a second here. Bump, 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 bump. There he is. I see. Add Tim Luke. We'll see what happens here. One can never tell.
Well, especially with me, because I'm not the most adept. I will be honest with you.
Well, I have my mornings of really severe ineptitude. I mean,
I was so excited to try Skype for the first time in my car, and I've tried it for 2 weeks, and I just can't get it. So anyway, I'm back. I'm at my desk.
Okay. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
You bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning?
Oh, yes, I am.
I can imagine. Well, welcome to the two of you this morning.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit. Well, first of all, Tim, why are you in Chicago?
No, I'm in Pittsburgh.
Oh, in Pittsburgh. Well, so, the double older question, why are you in Pittsburgh?
right, exactly. Here to do, it's part of a larger state that part of it we started, it was in Florida, and the second part is here in Pittsburgh. So I thought beginning of March would be better than the beginning of February, so which actually turned out to be a good thing with all the storms that rolled through. So we're here, and we'll be going through all of the items, the personal property, tangible personal property. There's a number of different locations as well. So we have a lot to do. We got in last night, and we'll be there. We start this morning at 10 o'clock. So.
All right. Well, the story I wanted to start off with both of you is we talked about the auction. I think it was last week or the week before. No one bid on. Well, Sotheby's expected to have an auction on 104 CryptoPunks, and they expected to get a record $30 million. But before the sale, it was pulled. The consigner, who goes by the name at OX650D on Twitter, posted simply, NVM decided to HODL, HODL. Okay, I know nothing about CryptoPunks. I know nothing about HODL. I know nothing about NVM. Never mind, I figured that one out.
Oh, my God. I don't even know where to begin. I have no idea what you even just said. I mean, I still don't understand the commercials on television for crypto. I'm at a loss. I'm still at a loss. I'm finally starting to beginning to understand what a chain. What do they call it? Chain.
Blockchain.
Blockchain is. I'm finally beginning to understand that. So now they.
Well, listen to this though.
Crypto's beyond me.
He pulled it, Tim and Greg, but 500 people already. We're on YouTube waiting for this to happen, and there was an opening bid already set for $14 million.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand. What the thing that really I don't understand is what was the purpose of trying to sell it at auction anyway? I mean, that's what I don't understand.
Tim, do you have anything on this?
They have been advertising this. If you look at the image, I've seen this out there, and here is the indication and example of what could go wrong with these NFTs that there's no real because they're intangible, and if they are supposed to be sold, they're supposed to be sold. So why, you know, why this all happened, not really sure. But I think that this just shows that even with the cryptocurrency, with no, and I'm not a big, you know, it's like I'm not saying regulations are the answer, but, you know, there have to be some sort of regulations and rules. Okay, you say you're going to sell this intangible asset. Well, you have to go through with it. And for some reason, you know, the seller decided not to sell. And it was what they're saying in the article. It said it was a PR stunt, you know, that they were trying to call it a PR stunt, just like it worked for Banksy when the thing, you know, went through. It just created a more valuable piece of artwork. So I don't know. Is this move going to make this piece more valuable? I don't know.
The question that I have is, in a normal, tangible auction, if you had a piece up for auction and you decided to pull it at the very last minute for some reason that was not discovered by the auction house, if you just wanted to pull it, there usually is a penalty for that. Now, if that is the case, is the penalty paid in cryptocurrency, or do they have to pay Sotheby's with real something that's backed up by gold, you know, like regular currency? This is what's so mystifying to me. I just don't understand it. And if they have the ability just at the last minute, without any repercussions, to just stop a potential multi-million dollar auction, there needs to be some sort of repercussions.
Well, the thing is, and this is the thing that happened, Greg, is that it's one lot. So it was a single lot sale. And at the last minute, the client decided to pull the lot, to have it withdrawn, which they have that option. It depends on their contract, and they may have to pay a fee if it's withdrawn prior to the sale. But there are rumors that because it was out there and Sotheby's did promote this so heavily, is that they received other offers via other, you know, whether it was Twitter or whatever means, that the artist received other offers and decided to take them because they were looking for their price, or that it wasn't going to sell for what they thought, you know, whatever the piece was. Because if you read through the article, it also says other attendees mentioned that while valuable, the bundle of CryptoPunks. So what it is that they showed it on the screen as like 25 or 50 different little blocks of the CryptoPunks. And so you were getting those 50 different little chunks that were in the one piece. But they were saying that that wasn't particularly enticing. And so it was no surprise that bidders didn't rally with competitive bids. So that could have been part of the problem as well. So, you know, there's a whole different, you know, there's a whole thing, because it's where the market is going, and they were hoping to build on, I would imagine, that the auction houses they're hoping to build on all of the large amounts that they have been selling these things for. But when you look at it, it's kind of gone up, and then it's going down, 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 and there's things that are happening. And, you know, this is, in this digital type of realm, in this virtual world, you don't need Sotheby's. This is the other thing, is that do you actually need an auction? Sotheby's was the vehicle that did a lot of the advertising, and that's why if they do pull it, there's probably could be a fee for it that they have to pay for, you know, it's a percentage of whatever the reserve is, and they should, because if Sotheby's did all of this PR for this major piece in the auction, and they also had, you know, there was also a reception prior to the auction. So there was money that went into this. So you better believe that Sotheby's going to get some part of this if it did sell.
I did a little investigation, and CryptoPunks are 10,000 unique collectible characters.
Oh, 10,000.
With proof of ownership stored on the Ethereum blockchain, the project that inspired the modern crypto art movement. Okay, they are one of the earliest examples of non-fungible tokens. The CryptoPunks are 10,000 uniquely generated characters. No two are exactly alike, and each of them can be officially owned by a single person at the blockchain. Originally, they could have been claimed for free by anybody with an Ethereum wallet, but all 10,000 were quickly claimed.
Right.
I still don't understand.
Okay, so I'll explain it. So in this particular lot, there were 104 CryptoPunks together that were being sold. So the thing is that this Ethereum or whatever it's called, this blockchain, that's the name of the blockchain where they're stored. So they have named that particular blockchain, that's the company or the group that is sponsoring that blockchain, which also hosts an area, it's a bank, basically, where you store, that's your wallet, where you store all of your cryptocurrency or Ethereum cryptocurrency. So that is where you would, that's where they were enticing people to go visit them to get these things for free. And now, I mean, one of the CryptoPunks that wasn't part of the group from Sotheby's. So you said there were how many, 10,000 that were made or however many?
Yeah.
One of the other groups out of this 104 sold, just recently sold, it wasn't that cheap, but it sold for $150,000, just one of those little things. So it sold yesterday, actually, and it said that the least expensive punk number 7456, and it features a black female with green eyeshadow, sold yesterday for 59 ETH, and that's got to be the Ethereum, whatever that's their currency, 59 bitcoins or 59 whatever it is, but that translates to $150,000. Goes to your point, Greg, when they're making these transactions, they're doing it online, so they have to use that currency of cryptocurrency, and that just translates into dollars, I guess, if they wanted to exchange it.
This Ethereum, this Ethereum tag or this company, so that's just one of many, I am assuming.
Correct, yes. Because Bitcoin is another. Those are the two Bitcoin is the most popular.
So it's another type of crypto.
It's a correct cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But nobody can explain to me how this is backed up. What is
it's not? It's not backed up.
Actual money.
It's not right. backed up it's by not. Anything. It's that's the whole thing about it. That's so crazy. It's not backed by anything.
Talk about the emperor has no clothes. I mean, hello.
Amazing.
Right. But the other interesting thing, and this is what I said when this all came out, is saying, you've got to watch this, and things spiked, and it's just like any other collectible market, is that people want, there's the hype, they want to be on board. The only people that make money are at the beginning, who spend a lot, hype it up, and jump out. And it's almost like a pyramid scheme, yeah. Because they just get in there and go. Because even at the end of this article, it says in the end, it couldn't have just been bad timing, given that the crypto market is simply not where it used to be. So that's the other thing, is that a year ago, the crypto market was sailing. Now it's starting to go down, and it's leveling off, and the notoriety or the newness of it is wearing off. So we'll see where this all goes.
I wonder if it's going to go the way of the B word, Beanie Babies. It was hot, and then it was not.
Right, right.
Well, we just did a Seinfeld episode, a show about nothing.
Yes. Thank you. That's exactly – it's funny you mentioned that, because Tim and I talked about this in the past, and I said, this is just like the Seinfeld show. It is a show about nothing.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, thanks for the conversation today, and I'm still as confused as ever. Okay.
Oh, boy. Right. I think I might be more confused.
All right, guys. I'll speak.
Go into the Matrix.
All right.
Have a great week.
All right. Take care.
Have a great week.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with the praise. This here on Robin Hood Radio.